Good morning, everyone, from the Scots Kirk in Lausanne. Again, we are sad that we can't be together, but please join in at home where you can in this service of worship and continue to pray with us in the days and weeks to come. Please also check, if you can, our Facebook page for updates and our website for recordings. This is the 22nd of March and it's the fourth Sunday in Lent. Let's worship God together. Holy One, we cry out for healing, for sight, for light. We come to worship. We call on Jesus to light the way, seeking to see and be seen, offering our cries, our longing, and our love. Our first hymn tune is Brother James's Ear, and it's set to the words of the 23rd Psalm. The melody is by a Scot, James Bain, writing in the late 19th or early 20th century, but it's been harmonised and set to these words by John Bell of the Iona community. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me to lie down. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. The Lord's my shepherd, you will find at number 16 in the hymn book, and we sing it to Brother James's ear. Let's come to God now in our opening prayer. Let's pray. Lord, it's hard to understand healing when so many are sick. It's hard to understand blessing when so many are in need. It's hard to trust when trust is so often broken. Yet you come to us in the midst of sickness, in the midst of need, in the midst of brokenness, and you see us. You see to our very hearts and you love us. You love us to our core. Take these, our prayers, use them for the healing of the nations. Take our lives and use them as blessings for brokenness. Take our hearts and fill them with your love that never ends. Amen. And so just a word to our younger people. Today we have two themes. We're thinking about light and also about mothers, because in some parts of the world today, it's Mother's Day. But my story is really about my dad. He was a science teacher, and he always wore a lab coat to keep his clothes from getting spoiled by some of the things that he used to teach science with, like acid and other chemicals. In his pocket, he always had a prism. Now, a prism is a kind of triangular piece of glass that if you hold it up to the light, it shows up light as all the different colours of the rainbow. So today, I wonder if at home you could list all the colours of the rainbow and draw a rainbow to remind us of a couple of things. Incidentally, there are seven colours in the rainbow, so you'll have to research that. Firstly, the rainbow reminds us of the beauty of everything around us and our thanks for the light that helps us to see. Not everyone can see, so we must be grateful for our sight. Secondly, the many different parts of our lives are like all the different colours in the rainbow. Our home, our family, our school, our friends. All these things make our lives really special. Thirdly, the shape of the rainbow is a bit like a bridge. I like to think that it's like a bridge between heaven and earth, reminding us that God is always with us. If you manage to draw a lovely rainbow, can I ask you to keep it until we can meet again? And then I can see all your hard work. Our next hymn is 714 in the hymn book. It was written by George Matheson, who lived in the latter part of the 19th century. Most of the hymns he wrote focus on light, maybe because he went blind during his training for ministry. His two sisters learned Greek and Hebrew so that they could help him finish his studies. He served as minister with their help to the congregation of Inellen in the west of Scotland for 40 years. I've chosen to read the words of the third verse because they talk about the rainbow. Each sees one colour of thy rainbow light, each looks upon one tint and calls it heaven. Thou art the fullness of our partial sight, we are not perfect till we find the seven. Gather us in. Hymn 714, Gather Us In. Our reading today is another dramatised reading and it comes from John's Gospel, chapter 9. Listen now for God's word. Walking down the street, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, causing him to be born blind?" Jesus said,
"You're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Don't be so negative. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines. When night falls, the work day is over. For as long as I am in the world, there is plenty of light. I am the world's light."
He said this and then spit in the dust, made a clay paste with the saliva, rubbed the paste on the blind man's eyes and said, "Go wash at the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. The man went and washed and saw. Soon the town was buzzing. His relatives and those who year after year had seen him as a blind man begging were saying, "Why isn't this the man we knew who sat here and begged?" The people asked him, "How did your eyes get opened?" He replied, "A man named Jesus made a paste and rubbed it on my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' I did what he said. When I washed, I saw." They marched the man to the Pharisees. This day, when Jesus made the paste and healed his blindness, was the Sabbath. The Pharisees grilled him again on how he had come to see. He said, "He put a clay paste on my eyes and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "Obviously this man can't be from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath." Others countered, "How can a bad man do miraculous, God-revealing things like this?" There was a split in their ranks. They came back at the blind man. "You're the expert. He opened your eyes. What do you say about him?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews didn't believe it. Didn't believe the man was blind to begin with. So they called the parents of the man. They asked them, "Is this your son, the one you say was born blind? So how is it that he now sees?" His parents said, "We know he is our son, and we know he was born blind, but we don't know how he came to see. Why don't you ask him?" They said this because they were afraid of the Pharisees. They questioned the man, but he said, "All I know is this, I was blind, and now I can see." The Pharisees were angry with the man because he would not denounce Jesus or say what they wanted him to say, so they threw him out in the street. Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out and went and found him. He asked him,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
The man said, "Point him out to me, sir, so that I can believe in him." Jesus said,
"You're looking right at him. Don't you recognise my voice?"
"Master, I believe," the man said, and worshipped him. Jesus then said,
I came into the world to bring everything into the clear light of day, making all the distinctions clear, so that those who have never seen will see, and those who have made a great pretense of seeing will be exposed as blind.
Some Pharisees overheard him and said, Does that mean you're calling us blind? Jesus said,
If you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, you're accountable for every fault and failure. Amen. Thanks be to God.
We come to our prayer of confession, at the end of which is the Lord's Prayer. Please join in the words that are most familiar to you. Let us pray. Living Lord God, light of the world, forgive us for the ways we see your world, when we look on others with selfish eyes, when we look on the things of the world with acquisitive eyes, when we look at nature as if it was only for us to use, when we look at each other and ask what we can get. Forgive us and help us to see with the eyes of faith and hope and love. Merciful God, thank you for forgiving us and allowing us the chance to begin again. Help us to see as you would have us see the beauty all around us, the friends we are called to love, the strangers in our midst that we are called to welcome. Lord, in this time when we are separated from our friends and neighbours, show us how to see a need and find a creative way to fill it, how to be there for others in new and different ways. For we ask all these our prayers in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray in these words. Please join in the words which are most familiar to you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Our next hymn is 555 in the hymn book, a well-known one, Amazing Grace, written by John Newton. Newton was an English Anglican clergyman and abolitionist who'd been forced as a young boy to serve as a sailor in the Royal Navy. At one point, he became a slave of Princess Pay, a black princess of the Sherbrooke people, and then years after, he became the captain of slave ships. And it was this experience that caused his conversion and his lifelong fight against the evil that was slavery, out of which came the words of this beautiful hymn. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Let us pray. Lord, bless us as we come to your word. Speak to our hearts and souls that we might hear and understand. In Jesus' name, Amen. It's Mothering Sunday in the UK today, and in many homes people are preparing to give gifts to their mothers or those who act as a mother to them. This year will be a difficult one for many because they won't be able to spend actual time with their families. But in fact, as many of you probably know, this Sunday began as Mother Church Sunday. It was the one day in the year that house and farm servants in Scotland, and I suspect in other countries, were allowed to have the day off to attend their home church. Some of them would start off very early to cover the miles to their home parish, dressed in their Sunday best and probably feeling uncomfortable, they would attend church with their families and neighbours. Following this, a meal at home, and then the long trudge back to begin work again the next day, probably very early in the morning. I've always wondered how those cosseted rich folks managed to cope for that one day with virtually no servants to care for them. There must have been a kind of pre-Christmas feel to it, as servants frantically prepared to make sure their masters didn't starve and managed to dress themselves. Perhaps those of us who've studied such matters by watching Downton Abbey or any of the Jane Austen films or series will have some insight into what that might have been like. Most of us today will be remembering our mothers, but how many will be remembering their mother church, the one that first nurtured them and brought them to faith? My mother church is on the Isle of Arran. It was not perfect by any means, but it was the place where I first heard about Jesus Christ, the place where my life of faith began as a very young child. Just as churches are not perfect, in our reading from John's Gospel, we see that parents, mothers or fathers, are not perfect either. They often have feet of clay and disappoint us. The blind man in the story was healed by Jesus at a time when people believed that disabilities were a result of sin. And of course, if one was born with a disability, it couldn't be a personal sin, so it must have been a sin of one or other parent. Jesus' teaching was always to the point and always sought to bring people out of the darkness of ignorance and fear and into the light. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so the blind man's parents hadn't sinned, but they didn't back up their son, did they? They were afraid when they were asked if they knew how their son had been cured. Ask him, they said. He's old enough to speak for himself. They kind of washed their hands of him for fear of being put out of the synagogue, excommunicated, a disaster in those days. Mother churches have done that over the ages. When one of their sons or daughters had let them down or caused them to be afraid for their own safety, they have washed their hands of that person. Notable people who've been communicated include Juan Perón, Napoleon, Joan of Arc, Fidel Castro, Elizabeth I, and her notorious father, Henry VIII, Henry IV, Martin Luther, and of course many scientists and learned people who challenged the authority and teachings of the church. This happens less often now, but the latest excommunication that I know of was in 2013. How terrible to be disowned by your mother church. The blind man was literally thrown out of the synagogue for being cured. What that would have been like socially for him and his parents, we don't know. We can only imagine. It is possible to buy a little bracelet or a medallion with the letters WWJD. The letters stand for What Would Jesus Do? And the purpose and point of the piece of jewellery is to remind wearers that in any circumstance, particularly those that are challenging or frightening or otherwise unsettling, it can be helpful to ask yourself that question. When I worked as chaplain to a university, my ministry was to lots of mostly young people. Day and daily, I saw lots of students who were having problems with their badly behaved parents. Parents that they perceived had let them down in all sorts of ways. One of my sons-in-law blames his parents for his lack of entrepreneurial abilities. They were too kind to him, he says. If only they'd been cruel, he would have been more successful. Now, I am being a little flippant, and I'm hoping he's not listening, but sometimes parents are not what they ought to be. We can see enough evidence in our news of that scenario, but mostly, parents are simply people who are trying their best, people who do love their children very deeply, and who will not give up until they're sure those children are safe and have achieved the best they can in life. People who will go to extraordinary lengths to protect their child from harm. And so, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Is there any circumstance in which he would abandon us or cease to love us? Can we find ourselves excommunicated outside his love? I don't believe so. And we need to remember that, particularly at this time. A wee story to finish with. The story was reported in the Taipei Times on the 11th of May in 2002. In 1972, a two-year-old Chinese boy, Hu Yen Wan, suffered a fall and went into a coma. When he woke up after 6 days, he was not able to talk or move. Like any parent, his mother was terribly distressed. Yet her distress was multiplied by the fact that she couldn't afford to place him in a nursing home. Instead, she has cared for Hu Yen Wan. Now, anybody who is listening can tell me how that should be pronounced. She wasn't able to care for her son herself, and her care has shown the unfathomable depth of her mother love. You see, because he is unable to move, Hu Yen Wan is liable to get terrible bed sores. So for the past 30 years, his mother has done the unbelievable. She has carried her son on her back. As of May 2002, the mother was 65 years old and weighed 400 kilograms. Her son, now a grown man, weighed 82 kilograms. On many occasions, Lu, the mother, has fallen and fractured bones while carrying her son, yet she continues to carry him. When asked how she can do it, her reply is simple. He is not a burden to me, he is my son, and I will never abandon him. Each one of us is a child of the living God. No matter how needy we are, how heavy our load of grief or sin or sadness, he will be there for us. He will be with us, even during those times when we don't acknowledge him. He will look for us when we are lost, and if necessary, when we are so low that we can't do anything. Then he will carry us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our prayers of the people today were written and recorded by Alice Goodman.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this time of uncertainty, we turn to you for reassurance and comfort. We pray for people who are directly affected by the coronavirus, those who have lost loved ones, those who are ill themselves, for family and friends of those who are ill. We ask for your peace and reassurance that you are beside them and their loved ones, sharing in their concerns and fears. Healing God, we pray for the most vulnerable people in the midst of the pandemic, the elderly and infants, those with chronic illnesses and compromised immune systems, those living in regions of conflict and oppression, those who do not have access to adequate health care. We ask for your peace and reassurance that you are beside them and their loved ones, sharing in their concerns and fears. We pray for families at this time where this situation brings stress to the relationships, parents working from home while trying to care for their children. Bless them with patience, creativity, and refreshment in the changing of routines. Give them strength and open our eyes to the hidden blessings of this unknown experience. We pray for those who find themselves so lonely, being confined to their homes. Make your presence known to them. so that they discover a deeper relationship with you. Bring to mind those who need our help in practical ways, or just a chat, and give us the nudge to do it. Lord, we thank you for those who are working in the healthcare around the clock to care for all who are ill. Give them your strength. We thank you for all who are working to provide food and the basics for living. Give them your strength. We thank you for all the people who are keeping us safe and keeping the peace. Give them your strength and wisdom in their work. In all that we hear and see around us, we know that in all things you work for the good of those who love you. You, who have been called according to your purpose. For we know that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from your love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We would normally have our offering here, but of course we can't receive your offerings of money at this time. If you have envelopes, you can hang on to them until we meet again. Others give in a variety of different ways. And so we'll continue week by week to dedicate your gifts, however you choose to get them to us. And also we will rededicate ourselves at this time to doing God's work in the world, however that plays out for each one of us. And so let's pray. Loving God, bless our gifts and bless us. Bless our gifts of prayers and thoughts, our gifts of phone calls and letters, our gifts of money and goods and time, our gifts of ourselves. And bless all those gifts. Make use of them as we wait in this time. Help us to use that time to get closer to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We close today with another hymn that reflects on the words of the 23rd Psalm, written in the 19th century by Henry Baker, an English vicar. He wrote several hymns, but this one was said to be his favourite, and reputedly, as he lay dying, he recited the words of the third verse. Perverse and foolish oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. Hymn 462, The King of Love. Thanks, of course, to everybody who helped prepare the service and the Facebook message today. And thanks to Vanessa for her music and to Deirdre for her music too. And also to Alice for preparing the prayers. And now God loves each one of you, go in his peace, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Creator, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.